You're listening to EPN, the e-podcast network.
Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network, your channel for exclusive interviews with entrepreneurs, small business owners, and some of the world's top executives who share business strategies and insights that can all help you build your business, leading to your business success. And now, broadcasting from anywhere between Brazil, South America to Los Angeles, California, it is your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Today, we are speaking with Mr. Stephen Valentine, Director of Academic Leadership at Montclair Kimberly Academy, a school of thought that turns inquiry into insight. Mr. Valentine, a pleasure to have you with us today on Enterprise Radio.
Thanks, Eric. It's a pleasure to be here.
You bet. So can you start by telling us more about Montclair Kimberly Academy and your role at the school to kick things off today?
Sure. Montclair Kimberly Academy, which is locally known as MKA, is a pre-K through 12 independent school in Montclair, New Jersey. We serve over 1,000 students from pre-K to 12, and we're known for being an innovative and nurturing school. So at MKA, I serve three distinct roles. Of course, they overlap. I'm an English teacher to an appropriately rowdy and thoughtful ninth grade class. I'm the assistant head of the upper school, which means that I'm in the middle of a lot of curricular development. And as you mentioned, I'm the director of academic leadership, which is a pre-K through 12 position, where I work on a professional growth program for the school and also just helping our school leaders to thrive.
It certainly does sound like you're busy around the clock on a daily basis. Now, technology is everywhere, especially within our school system. Can you share with us the digital methods that you implement at MKA, and are those methods well received by students and teachers alike?
Sure, sure. I should start by saying that our technology infrastructure at MKA, in terms of its hardware and software, along with the pedagogy underpinning it, is really second to none. So I'm very lucky in that, I get to sketch on a really wonderful canvas. Every student has the same MacBook Pro, the same amount of software. So when you walk into a classroom or a meeting at MKA, you're very fortunate. And so within a program like that, if we're just talking about the leadership realm first, this allows me to really dream big when I'm trying to solve a problem. So because of our school's network and because of, the technology that we have, if we're trying to solve a problem or we're trying to build a program, one of the things that our technology allows us to do is to really look as far outside the building as we need to connect with not just the best person in the building, but the best person in the world. And so it's not uncommon for us to be, inviting outside people into our meetings to collaborate with our teachers. Through Zoom or through Skype or through any kind of medium. If we need real-time feedback from a group of constituents, we've become very agile as an institution in terms of just, launching a survey through any number of survey tools and really checking in with, what in sort of the design parlance would be considered our end users, whether that's students or parents or teachers. And so we have a great feedback system. And then in the classroom, it really just allows you to dream really big. If you want to look at something brand new, breaking knowledge, our students are great at sort of going online, going offline. They know when to open their machines, when to close their machines. And so, again, it's a great place to work, to lead, and to teach, because not only do we have the technology to support us, but we also have the mindsets in place where, whether that means we're trying to collaborate in brand new ways, we're trying to learn in brand new ways, and we're just trying to stay on the cutting edge. As far as the second part of your question, in terms of how people embrace the technology that we have and the options that we have at the school and the things that I'm trying, one thing that I've found is that it's a very learning-oriented school. And so, for instance, recently in a meeting, a member of a committee was not feeling well, and yet she really wanted to be part of the meeting. And so I was able to pull in, a camera, a microphone, connect her to a Google Hangout, and bring her right into the meeting. Now, the interesting thing about this is that it wasn't really working. You know, things were not connecting the way I really wanted them to. And so the first 15 minutes of the meeting, everybody in the room was kind of pitching in to help facilitate this connection, because they knew that this person wanted to be part of the meeting. They knew that she had something great to contribute. And they knew the technology wasn't working. But instead of saying, well, what are you trying to do? Or why are we trying to bring people into a meeting when they're not feeling well? It became sort of a fun challenge for the group. And I think that that speaks to a certain spirit of exploration and of sort of open-heartedness, which I see all over the school. So again, I go back to where I started, which is that I'm really lucky to work in a place that has both the technology and the mindset to really make it all work.
Stephen, which method do you think is most essential for your students, and how do you help your students practice good technology habits outside the classroom?
Yeah, it's an interesting question, because you know, I think the jobs of the future, or the ones for which I guess my students will compete, have probably not been invented yet. So before I even talk about technology with anyone at school, I think what we end up talking about first are certain skills that would cut across disciplines, so that students are ready for many possible futures, if you will. So do they know how to break down a big complex problem? Do they know how to research in many different fields? So not just in history, but also in science or English or even in math. Do they know how to take care of their physical, their bodies, their social and emotional health? Do they know how to collaborate? And so you'll notice that I haven't even mentioned technology yet. And I think that that's an important thing for anyone who's listening, that, you know, technology for its own sake is not, I don't believe is a good idea, but teaching students to ask the right questions and to be able to do things, the kinds of things that will set them up for any kind of industry or any kind of job or any kind of challenge, is definitely where we tend to start. And yet, on the other hand, technology is the greatest lever that we have available to us today. And so I guess you would say the secret sauce is, you know, teaching students to long for a certain kind of collaboration or a certain kind of research or inquiry, and then pairing that with the correct tool at the correct time. And so, for example, if students are asked to collaborate in class, we want MKA students to immediately think, okay, so should we be doing this with a post-it on the wall, with a Google Doc, with a Padlet? So one of those things is paper. Two of those things are digital. But the important part is that, first of all, the students realize that there are multiple options, and then they go through this quick process of understanding sort of the affordances and the limitations of each of those options, and then selecting the one that will ensure that the collaboration is best. Same thing goes with a meeting with adults in the building. If we're trying to solve a problem, we need to be able to look around the room and say, you know, is the appropriate problem solver in the room, or do we need to look wider? Do we need to connect with someone at another school? And then how would we do that? You know, what kind of setup do we need to connect this room to a room in Canada or to a room in China? And you know, how will we support that that conversation? So, you know, again, I feel like it's important to say that we start with a question. We want our students to be able to ask great questions, to be able to collaborate, to be able to think. And then, again, if we can pair that with the right technology choice at the right time, then we feel like we've won.
Most definitely. Today we are joined by Mr. Stephen Valentine, Director of Academic Leadership at Montclair Kimberly Academy, a school of thought that turns inquiry into insight, here on Enterprise Radio, a part of the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Don't forget, you can follow the show on Twitter at ePodcast Network, and we're also streaming on demand 24/7 on TuneIn Radio and the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. Now, do you ever encounter any challenges with technology and your students? And if so, how do you overcome those challenges?
Well, I think the first challenge for any educator, which is something that a lot of educators actually look past, but the first challenge is to break down this bias that a lot of adults have, which is that young people, because they are really facile with technology, know how to use technology in an academic sense. So again, just my daughter knows how to use my phone. She knows how to use an iPad. She knows her way around a computer. She's 7 years old. This does not mean that she knows how to maximize her learning and growth when she gets one of those machines in a classroom. So, I know that this isn't the sort of the challenge that everybody talks about, but when you're talking about professional educators, that's the first thing we need to overcome is to make sure that the young people in our classrooms understand how to intentionally use technology in order to extend their learning. So whether that means, knowing how to cite sources, not just the book, but how do you cite a website? How do you make sure that you're giving proper credit? How do you make sure that, you're showing the appropriate level of respect to the people you're interacting with? When you're trying to access a resource for a history paper, do you know that there are, specialized databases that you can access? So for that, you need a really great librarian to steer you and to teach you how to use these tools. Do you know how to look outside of the walls of your school to learn? Do you know how to evaluate learning options, that come your way, whether it's Khan Academy or something like the Global Online Academy? So do you know how to go out and get what you need when you don't have a teacher in the classroom with you? So that's the first challenge, is really equipping students to learn well with technology that is intuitive to them. The second one is, making sure that students understand that screen use of any kind does not have to be a default. And this is something that I'm really passionate about, that when you pick up your phone or you open your laptop, I think it's important to remember that the people who work for these companies are very, very skilled at helping us to build habits that include the use of their products. And so, reminding students that, anytime that you pick up a tool in the classroom, it should have a reason. Anytime you pick up your phone, ideally, you should be taking that split second to think, why am I using this? Why do I need this screen? How is this helping me? So that's challenge number two. And I think challenge number three is reminding students about, their own intellectual property. So when someone is performing on stage, and the instinct for this, the younger generation is to just record everything or to take pictures, and to intervene in that moment and say, that person hasn't given you permission to do that. And, there's a reason that, some of the things that happen in the school are private or not private. And so, again, just having these kinds of conversations with students and making them aware of the power of what they're holding in their hands at all times.
I understand that you take a unique approach in blending traditional teaching methods with technology at MKA. Can you tell us more about that and how other educators can learn from this as well?
Yeah, so I think my approach is to really focus on the idea of optionality in the classroom, which I realize it might sound like kind of a fuzzy concept, but I try to remind people that they have more options than they've ever had before when they walk into a school. So when you're a teacher and you walk into a room, one of the options is to have students open a laptop. But one of the options is also to talk to students face-to-face, in the old-fashioned way. And both, again, have certain affordances and certain limitations. And so by just reminding people that, you have an opportunity to sort of work with young people face-to-face, so why would you do that? Why should you do that? Well, first of all, you can provide tons of feedback in the moment. You can provide coaching in the moment. You can teach young people how to interact with each other, how to be part of a learning community. But on the other hand, you have all of these powerful tools. And so, reminding yourself that, you should always be exploring and understanding all of the different options available to you. So, for example, if I'm walking into a class that starts at 8 o'clock on a Monday morning, maybe the traditional way to do that is to just have students come in and, you know, say hello and talk about your weekend. But if I have a lot to get through and I really want to sort of get the students going, you know, I might build sort of an online collaborative space for them, put it on a URL when they walk into the room, and the first thing they will do is type the URL. There'll be a question there on the, on a Padlet or on a Google Doc, and they'll start answering it. And 5 minutes into the class, so at 8:05 on a Monday morning, when, you know, across the nation, many first period classes are just getting started, we get to start with a very rich resource where the students have already done some talking. Now, admittedly, they weren't using their voices, but they were typing. And we get to look at that resource, and you can imagine the jumpstart that that gives our class. So, again, as a teacher, knowing, wow, I can choose from any different kind of option and any different kind of range of tools in order to accomplish a certain pedagogical task. So for me, that's become really critical in terms of, do I want to do something online? Do I want to do something offline? And then why is that the best way?
Certainly sounds like you're doing a fantastic job there at Montclair Kimberly Academy, and appreciate your joining us, not only to get us in the know on the school, but also how you're using technology within education so much that we can learn from what you shared with us today. In conclusion, any closing thoughts, takeaways, a final word, or a tip here for the listeners today?
Sure. And this is something that may not have come out. I just returned from South by Southwest, where I was actually presenting with several MKA alums, and the trip out there drove home for me a really important point, because I met a bunch of people out there that I had only interacted with online, and they were very interested in my work, in the work of the students that I brought with me, and ultimately in Montclair Kimberly Academy. And, you know, it just drove home this idea that we have an unprecedented opportunity to share our work and ourselves with other educators. And, you know, in the education field, you know, I don't think you can share too much. When something great happens in your school or your classroom, you can go on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, email, whatever it is. Sharing, I have found, always leads to a benefit, because what happens is you go out to conferences or other schools, you meet people who are interested in your work, which means they're interested in the work of your students. So that benefit of sharing out usually drifts back into your classroom, helping your own students, helping your school. So again, the final tip is share the good stuff without questioning, you know, why you're sharing it or who's using it or what they're doing with it.
And thanks for that advice. Where can listeners get more information about Montclair Kimberly Academy, and how can one be in touch?
Well, Montclair Kimberly, you know, we have a great website. It's pretty simple, www.mka.org. We also have a pretty prominent Facebook page. And probably the easiest way to interact with me is on Twitter. I am at SJ Valentine. And I actually end up tweeting a lot about the school. So, you know, if you want to know what's going on at MKA, I'd be more than happy to share more with any of your listeners, because it's, you know, again, it's a great institution, really vibrant, a leader in education, and we are more than happy to open our doors to anyone who wants to learn from us or teach us.
Once again, Mr. Valentine, it has been our pleasure to have had you. Continued success, and again, thanks for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And you're most welcome. We have been speaking with Mr. Stephen Valentine, Director of Academic Leadership at Montclair Kimberly Academy, a school of thought that turns inquiry into insight. And for more information and for contact, simply visit mka.org. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Pick up our iPhone or Android mobile app, your exclusive mobile listening convenience, and once again, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks again for listening to Enterprise Radio here on the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. To subscribe for future programming, simply visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.